You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day, I guess. This is also the post-game pod from Tuesday afternoon's matinee loss to the Brooklyn Nets. So today on the show, we're mostly going to talk about that game, take a quick peek ahead to Wednesday's game, but we'll pretty much just do the game flow, talk key takeaways from the ugly loss to the Nets on Tuesday, and then we'll do individual studs and duds as well for that game. So, of course, the game was rescheduled from Monday night's postponement, the postponement due to the tragic death of Devontae Wright in Brooklyn Center, just north of the Twin Cities, and the Timberwolves, as well as the other major professional sports teams in the Twin Cities metro area, all postponed games on Monday. And I guess I don't know what the Wild did, but the Timberwolves and Twins both played on Tuesday. The Wolves, of course, go back out on the road now and play, they play at home on Wednesday. And the Tuesday afternoon game, as well as Wednesday, no fans allowed in Target Center for those games. So this was, you could tell that the team was flat, you know, playing a 3 p.m. game. Obviously, tons of emotions after the local tragedy and the, you know, the decision that followed Monday to not play. And Carl Anthony Towns, of course, didn't play on Tuesday either. It was the exact 1 year anniversary of his mother's passing last year. Add in the Devontae Wright killing and, you know, everything else. And the Timberwolves, I mean, they came out flat, as happens in a matinee. So we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about key takeaways, individual studs and duds upcoming. First, though, a reminder that you can follow this podcast anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. That includes Apple as well as Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app as well. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. It's Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And then also my account is at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. This game early was really ugly. And this happens, it feels like, more often than not. If it's anything before like a 6 p.m. local start, right? It's always just a sloppy start, it seems like. And that's what happened here. The Timberwolves, I mean, neither team scored for like the first 2 minutes of the game. The Timberwolves only had 8 points halfway through the first quarter. Literally, they had 8 points at the midway point. The Timberwolves tried Jaden McDaniels and Kevin Durant. They tried Josh Okogie and Kevin Durant. They actually both did okay when they were on him. But the Nets did a lot of things to move Durant around and put him in some different positions. And McDaniels was really active defensively and impressive early in the game as the Wolves kind of hung around, even though their offense was terrible. Actually, the first, you know, half to two thirds of the first quarter, the defense was actually decent. As the quarter wore on, the Nets started to, they actually built up to a 16 point lead in the first quarter, but then D'Angelo Russell, who's still coming off the bench on his low 20s minutes restriction, in his return from arthroscopic knee surgery, D'Angelo Russell led a run at the end of the first quarter and got the Wolves back. They were down 16 at one point in the first, and D'Lo got them back to within 8 by the close of the first quarter. So it was 33-25 after one. Of course, with no Karl Anthony Towns, that meant that Naz Reid was in the starting lineup. It meant that Jared Vanderbilt was the default backup five. The Timberwolves did end up using Ed Davis. First time Davis played in, I don't know, a couple of months. But Vanderbilt was the backup five in this game. And that wasn't going to work against the Nets because the Nets make you work offensively. Vanderbilt doesn't add anything offensively, really, at least not. I shouldn't say he doesn't add anything, but he's nothing like Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns are offensively. You can't count on getting points from Vanderbilt is probably the best way to say that. Whereas Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns are both going to score and stretch the floor and get post touches when they're on the floor. Vanderbilt would rather have the ball in his hands on the perimeter and create or score as a cutter, or really usually play in the dunker spot. He's not on the perimeter much at all unless he's handling in the fast break, which he can do. He's a good passer. The problem is he has no range on his shot, so he's not a threat from outside the arc. There's no passing lanes available when he touches the ball out there. So he mostly hangs out in the dunker spot and is good there, and a decent rebounder and a good offensive, or a good rebounder and a decent offensive rebounder. But as a backup five in this game, not the best matchup. He wasn't really able to combat, you know, when he was matched up with, you know, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, mostly, you know, is who he ended up being matched up with off the bench for Brooklyn. So it just wasn't the best fit. So the Wolves got down midway through the second quarter. This is a 51-28 game. The Wolves thankfully had a little bit of a push at the end of the second that made things respectable, kind of, sort of, at halftime. I think they were down 20. So not really. They were down 20 at halftime, maybe 21. But they showed a little bit of life. And then the third quarter was just kind of more of the same. I mean, D'Angelo Russell was awesome in the first half. Not as much when he got his minutes in the second half. The offense, which we'll talk about in the takeaway section, was completely lost with no Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor. Brooklyn got to 100 points just before the two-thirds mark of the third quarter. So there were still, like, I don't know, like 4 minutes or so left in the third quarter, and Brooklyn was already at 100 points. The Nets discovered, and we'll talk more about Anthony Edwards in takeaways too, but they were basically begging Anthony Edwards to shoot three-pointers, and he obliged. He shot 2 of 11 outside the arc in this one, and it was a big big problem for the Timberwolves offense. This was a wire-to-wire loss for the Wolves, and I believe it was the third one of the year that the Wolves have had. They were just never in this game, basically just a few minutes into the first quarter. In fact, it looked like the Wolves, I actually wrote down midway through the fourth quarter, hey, this, it looked like the Wolves weren't even going to crack 100 points, and then they went on this burst where they hit a bunch of threes. So I made that note, and then as it turns out, they still didn't crack 100. After that run, I thought, you know, they're going to now, but man, they almost didn't do it. They still ended up with only 97 points in this game. The defense was actually better than the offense, believe it or not, and Brooklyn hung 127 on the Wolves. So that gives you a picture just how bad the Timberwolves offense was. It was completely anemic. Apologies for the on and off background noise with the rain. It's raining insanely hard, so just kind of starting and stopping here, hoping that the rain settles down just a little bit. But the Nets basically were able to just kind of, you know, ease this thing to the finish line pretty much from the midway point of the third quarter. And frankly, earlier than that, Kevin Durant stayed on the floor until the fourth for the most part. The Nets just trying to get him a few more minutes, I guess, and keep playing him into playing shape, I guess. He had 31 points in only 27 minutes on 15 shots, 4 of 6 outside the arc, got to the free throw line 6 times, was just really, really good. And the Nets got whatever they wanted all night offensively. The Wolves, the Nets didn't need to do anything to slow the Wolves down. Minnesota was turning the ball over left and right. They were missing wide open shots. It was really a walk in the park for the Brooklyn Nets. Next, I want to talk about key takeaways. I want to talk about a couple of Wolves specific things that they did not do well. There's really nothing that they did well in this game. But I want to dive into some of those key takeaways before we get to the individual studs and duds and a peek ahead at Wednesday night's game. Before we do all that though, let's talk about Michelob Ultra. And that means we're talking about the Michelob Ultra player of the week. This week, that player is D'Angelo Russell. He has been back for 4 games, not including the Brooklyn Nets game. 4 games alongside Karl-Anthony Towns. The Wolves are 2-2 in those games. Russell has yet to play more than 29 minutes in a game since his return due to his minutes restriction. Yet he's still averaging 23.8 points per game, 5 assists, 3 rebounds per game, and under 2 turnovers per contest. He's shooting 47.7% from the field, 41.4% outside the arc, which is well above his career average. And that's on more than 7 3-point attempts per game. He's also gotten to the line 6 times per game and is shooting 87.5% from the free throw line. So 24 points a game and just under 26 minutes per game. And D'Lo said this post game after the Wolves' most recent victory against the Chicago Bulls the other night or on Sunday. He said that he feels as good as he ever has physically. And you could tell right there that D'Angelo Russell is bringing the joy. He's bringing happiness. He's bringing enjoyment to the game in what's been a really lost season for the Timberwolves. And as Michelob Ultra always reminds you, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Michelob Ultra has 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. And as D'Lo would tell you, enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy. D'Angelo Russell is this week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, key takeaways. Unfortunately, there really isn't much positive at all to say about this game. So we're going to start in a similar place to where we started key takeaways following the most recent, actually, even though the win over the Bulls, we talked about this after Sunday's game on Monday's show, rebounding. The Timberwolves have been awful rebounding the ball all season long. It's really never been more apparent. I mean, maybe that's not true because there were a lot of reasons why this game got out of hand quickly, but the rebounding was so brutal in this game. The Timberwolves were out rebounded 57-44. So they're minus 13 on the glass for the game. And Ed Davis finished the game. He played the last 10 minutes of the game for the Wolves and he had 10 rebounds in 10 minutes and they were still a minus 13 for the game. Ed Davis led the team in rebounding. He played 10 minutes and he led the team in rebounding. Naz Reid was your starting center. He had 3 rebounds. Your backup center, Jared Vanderbilt, 4 rebounds. Your starting power forward, Jaden McDaniels, 3 rebounds in 24 minutes. Your starting 3, Josh Okogie, 1 rebound in 18 minutes. Nobody on the Timberwolves had, 2 players had more than 4 rebounds in this game. One was Ed Davis, 10 rebounds in 10 minutes. And the other was Anthony Edwards, which is good to see, 8 rebounds in 33 minutes. He was active on the glass, which is great. Now, Ed Davis's 10 rebounds, 7 of them were offensive rebounds. He basically just kept back tapping the ball. But hey, why couldn't Naz Reid or Jaden McDaniels do that, you know, when the game wasn't out of reach, right? Why does Ed Davis have to be the only guy who's back tapping balls? And yeah, there were some fortuitous bounces, but Ed Davis was active. In 10 minutes, he had 10 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. I get that it was garbage time. I get that the Nets didn't care, but this is a guy who hasn't played in a couple of months. It literally doesn't matter. You know, he could just completely mail it in, but he played hard and rebounding. That's so much of rebounding. And actually Jim Peterson talked about this on the Bally Sports North broadcast and did a great job. I talked about this on the show the other day, boxing out. Jim Peterson spent time talking about boxing out today, talking about how he was noticing Landry Shamet, other Nets players actually playing fundamentally sound basketball and boxing out. I said on the show the other day that Taj Gibson, definitely not Naz Reid, Taj Gibson, and at times Karl Anthony Towns are really the only Timberwolves players that I remember in recent memory who legit box out. And the Nets were boxing out almost to a man. And it's a combination of technique and stick-to-itiveness and effort. And the Timberwolves don't really have any of those when it comes to rebounding the basketball. So it continues to be a major issue coming into this game. I've talked about how the Wolves have been bottom 5 in defensive rebounding percentage all year. They're 25th now. They've actually bumped up a little bit. They're 17th in offensive rebounding percentage. In terms of total rebounding, they're 22nd in rebounds per game. So they're creeping up a little bit. But remember, they played Sacramento recently, who I believe is the 29th or 30th ranked overall rebounding team. Indiana minus Domantas Sabonis and minus Miles Turner. They've had some games recently where they've kind of, the matchup has allowed them to rebound the ball better. And also Towns was on the floor. With no Towns, the Timberwolves had no chance at sniffing an even matchup in the rebounding column in this game. And that was a huge issue, especially early when the game was competitive for, you know, the half quarter that it was. Second key takeaway is the stagnant offense. The Timberwolves offense is entirely lost with Karl Anthony Towns, and now more than ever, this game showed, you know, when you have him in the lineup and the team's competitive and they're playing roughly 500 ball over the past couple of weeks, suddenly you pull Towns out and there's just this massive void and nobody filled that void for the Timberwolves. I mean, Edwards did in terms of jacking up shots, and D'Angelo Russell always does that. But just the gravity of what Towns does was just inescapably clear. It was like a star was just gone and everything collapsed into this void. The Timberwolves basically didn't run offense. They tried to run a few horn sets here and there. They tried to run some ball screen action, but it was a ton of Anthony Edwards isolation, some D'Angelo Russell. You know, they weren't calling D'Lo isolation plays, but often D'Lo ended up in isolation and shot a mid-range jumper, or which he's, you know, I'm not complaining about it being a mid-range jumper because he's awesome from the mid-range, but you know, D'Lo would shoot a jumper and that was the possession, or Ant would shoot a jumper or that was the, and that was the possession. There were a few ball screens here and there, but not a lot. There was a little bit late when the Wolves were trying to claw back in the third quarter, late in the second quarter, third quarter, where Anthony Edwards would initiate the offense and then D'Lo would come off of a screen and try and get open for a catch and shoot opportunity, or curl into the lane and get a pass almost as a cutter. And then D'Lo would kind of be your secondary initiator. So there was a little bit of that, which I think is probably the move, especially in crunch time. We saw this a little bit the other night, is have Anthony Edwards actually initiate the offense, but your play calls are for D'Lo and Karl Anthony Towns. And if things break down, Anthony Edwards can create, right? I mean, he's good in isolation. And that's really the only decision he's got to make is to whether to attack or to initiate the play set. So the offense was just brutal. And I'm not necessarily blaming Chris Finch, because what do you do, right? The whole offense is built around Karl Anthony Towns. This is a one game. All indications point to Towns being available on Wednesday. We don't know for sure, but you're not going to, what are you supposed to do? You know, I think maybe they could have tried going to Ed Davis a little earlier. They could have tried Naz Reid longer. I mean, Naz didn't have a good game, but they could have tried. The offense is just going to be better with Naz Reid on the court than Jared Vanderbilt. And offense was a bigger issue than defense in this game. Now, I get that Vanderbilt was hustling. We'll talk more about him here in a minute. And Studs a Dud, spoiler alert, because Vando was super active. He always is. And the Wolves needed that in this game, but they also needed offense. And Naz Reid would have provided a little bit more of that. I'm not suggesting the outcome would have been really any different. That's maybe the only thing I would have changed about the approach to this game from a Timberwolves, from the offensive perspective. Last key takeaway is Anthony Edwards' performance. He's not going to hit studs or duds in this game. I understand that he scored a team high 27 in 33 minutes. Great. He also had 8 rebounds. That's good too. He was 8 of 22 from the floor. Not ideal. 2 of 11 outside the arc. The good thing is he attempted 12 free throws. I mean, he's not going to be a dud either. So, spoiler, he's not in the next segment, which is why I want to talk about him here. He did a lot of good. Anthony Edwards was attacking relentlessly in this game. But he also did a lot of bad. Shot selection was, again, terrible. At one point, the Nets game plan was basically, hey, let's just let this guy shoot threes. Because he's like a 30% three-point shooter. So, you know, give him a little bit of space. And really, the reason that game plan makes a ton of sense isn't, I mean, you don't usually want to give up open threes, even if the guy's only 30, 31% from three, right? You still want to contest the three. The Nets were basically saying, we would rather take the chance of him shooting mostly open threes than allow him to get a half step on us going towards the rim and get downhill, get us into foul trouble, dunk on our guys, draw contact, get the team into the bonus, score at the rim, all that stuff. They would much, much, much rather him shoot mostly open threes, pull up threes at that, versus get downhill into the rim. And that's what the Nets did, and he took the bait. Anthony Edwards was 6 of 11 inside the arc, over 50% on two-point attempts. He was 2 of 11 outside the arc. That's under 20%. It's not good. 9 of 12 at the free throw line. He did still get downhill and get fouled a few times in this game. And he had 8 rebounds, which is great. But he also only had 2 assists. And he did spend some time initiating offense. He was a minus 39 in a game that the Wolves lost by 30. It's hard to be a minus 39 in a game. Really hard to do that. So, yeah, a lot of noise there. The Wolves were bad all the way around. I'm not suggesting Anthony Edwards was the worst player on the floor by any stretch. He's not going to be a dud on my studs and duds list. But this was a good example. And also, I actually was impressed by Jim Peterson. Jim Peterson always does a good job with this, but also Dave Benz, for pointing out Edwards' lack of hustle getting back on defense. And he is by far, or most certainly not the only guy. Karl Anthony Towns is sometimes guilty of this. He has improved, but he's guilty of complaining, not getting back defensively. That happened to Ant in this game, but it wasn't only when he was complaining to the officials. Sometimes he was just kind of jogging back on defense and the Nets beat him down the court. And that, you know, we're talking veterans, you know, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, guys who easily could have been like, yeah, we're going to win this game. You know, let's not take these easy baskets over a 19-year-old who's not hustling, but they made him pay. And Edwards was not, and again, not the only one, but he was the most obvious culprit in this game, because then he was turning around and attempting, almost twice as many shots as any other Timberwolves player in this game. Yet he also couldn't be bothered to run back consistently and play defense. So that was an issue, the effort level defensively for Edwards and for the team as a whole. One more note on the offense, though. I have to get these team stats in there. The Timberwolves shot 34.5% from the field, not from behind the arc, from the field. Under 35%, 30 of 87. From three-point range, they were 13 of 49, 26.5%. Biggest culprits, Jalen Noel, 0 of 6, Anthony Edwards, 2 of 11. Jalen Noel, 0 of 6, Anthony Edwards, 2 of 11. Jarrett Culver, 1 of 5 outside the arc. Ricky Rubio, 1 of 4. Brutal. Oh, Wancho is 0 of 3 outside the arc in 12 minutes. 13 of 49, 26.5%. From the free throw line even, they were only 72.7%. They were perfect against the Bulls. What was that? 27 of 27 or something crazy like that. They were 24 of 33 in this game, under 73% from the free throw line. Already talked about their brutal rebounding and turnovers. They had 14 turnovers in this game. The Nets had 18, but that's because the Wolves started gambling and the Nets got sloppy. But this was just not a good game all the way around for the Wolves, especially offensively. Okay, I do want to talk about individual studs and duds because there were a couple of kind of unsung performances that guys that actually played fairly well despite the lopsided score, and then also some players that we need to talk about their poor games as well. So first, though, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. There are 18 amazing flavors, including 6 brand new flavors. My favorites of the new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. I had a cherry barcia today on my way home from work. It was fantastic. Every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious. You can lose or maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. Every single Built Bar is low in calories, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Perfect if you're on the keto diet. You can go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's also talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NBA, MLB, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's the promo code LOCKEDON. So promo code LOCKEDON will get you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, before we get to studs and duds, a quick note on LOCKEDON NBA Draft. You can get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the LOCKEDON NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and more. 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the LOCKEDON NBA Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's talk studs and duds. For me, this is weird. I think this is probably the first time that Josh Okogie has been listed as a stud in a game for me this year. I'm pretty sure. Josh Okogie only played 18 minutes, but he scored 7 points, had 4 steals, a rebound and an assist in 18 minutes, 2 of 2 shooting, including a 3-pointer, got to the free throw line a couple of times, was 2 of 3 at the line, and it was generally good defensively. He blocked a Kevin Durant jumper at one point, blocked it out of bounds, and was pretty good. Competed defensively, got into passing lanes, was active, did all the thing. He had a couple of turnovers. One was pretty bad. He was, for whatever reason, it was like an Okogie-led fast break, and he was trying to pass the ball to Jared Vanderbilt on the move. Very ill-advised decision there. But all things considered, this was a good game from Josh Okogie, and it was a breath of fresh air to see a guy like him just continue to be energetic, given the circumstances of no Karl Anthony Towns and a game that was never really close. He still continued to play hard, so we'll see if this gets him a little bit more on track moving forward. In a similar vein, Jared Vanderbilt, who I guess is the Wolves' other kind of defense first energy guy, Vando had 9 points, also on 2 of 2 shooting, a perfect shooting night. 5 of 6 at the free throw line. I guess he hasn't played much lately, but he's been shooting free throws much better when he's gotten on the floor. 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 blocks and a steal in 21 minutes. was clearly overmatched on the glass. And he's a good rebounder for his size, but he's just undersized. He can't play the five against DeAndre Jordan. So the four rebounds in 21 minutes was in some ways a minor miracle. And just because he plays so hard. And again, three assists, four blocks, no turnovers in 21 minutes for Jared Vanderbilt. So really good game all the way around for him. He was just kind of miscast as a backup five. And in some instances that works, generally doesn't to put him at the five. And it certainly didn't in this matchup. But good to see the Wolves, two defense first energy guys in Okogie and Vanderbilt, have good performances for the Wolves in this one. All right. Duds, Naz Reid is one. 2 points, three rebounds in 17 minutes. He's your starting center. He's subbing for Karl-Anthony Towns. And he puts up a 2 and 3, two blocks, but he also had two turnovers. He committed four fouls in 17 minutes and shot 1 of 7 from the floor, missed both 3-point attempts. He was a minus 22 in 17 minutes. Not a good game from Naz Reid. Similarly, Jalen Nowell, and he, I guess this is tough because he's missed, what, five games now with the lower leg contusion that looked really bad a week and a half ago or so when he got hurt. 17 minutes, was 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 6 on threes. And he had a couple of wide, wide open three-point attempts late in this game in garbage time, and he completely missed. 3 points, three rebounds, nothing else. No assists, no steals, no blocks, nothing else in 17 minutes. 1 of 10 shooting, 0 of 6 from beyond the arc. 3 points for Jalen Nowell. So not a great performance from him. As I mentioned earlier, Anthony Edwards, a mixed bag performance. Same with D'Angelo Russell. The 15 points, he started this game like, I think it was 4 of 4 or 5 of 5 maybe. He finished shooting 5 of 12. So he either went 1 of 7 or 0 of his last 7, on his last 7 shots of the game. He was 3 of 5 on threes, but he only had 1 assist to 4 turnovers in 20 minutes in this one for D'Lo. The Wolves needed his offense, and he gave it in the first half and was good. And then things just got out of hand too quickly, and that was the end of the night for him. Believe it or not, nobody else scored more than 9 points. Anthony Edwards had 27, D'Lo had 15. Jordan McLaughlin, Jared Vanderbilt, Jake Lehman all had 9 points in this one, and nobody else had more than 7. Just a terrible offensive night. I already talked about the shooting percentages, but I think keeping studs and duds to 2 each is probably the right decision after this one, and I don't think we should ever talk about this game or think about this game ever again. The Wolves host the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday. Apparently, and I'm confirming this now as I'm reading this, apparently that game time was also moved up, and it was initially a night game, and now we're looking at a 3:30 tip is what this looks like. So, it appears to be a 3:30 tip. So, afternoon matinee game again for Wolves and Bucks on Wednesday in a back-to-back. I would expect Karl-Anthony Towns to play. He's listed as questionable, but we really don't know. So we'll see if Towns plays. If he does, the Wolves should be able to make a game out of it. Although, the Bucks have had a little bit of a disappointing season, but they're still the Bucks. They've still got Giannis, and obviously will still be favored in this game quite heavily, whether or not Karl-Anthony Towns plays. If he doesn't play, I'd be worried about a similar outcome as Tuesday's game against Brooklyn, quite frankly. Milwaukee is still a top 10 team in both defense and offense. Offensive rating, they're fourth overall in net rating league-wide. They're third in the Eastern Conference at 33-20. Giannis did not play on Sunday, and he's listed as questionable against the Wolves on Wednesday as well. So we'll see if he takes the floor. The Bucks may figure they could win without him and may not dress him. Same thing with PJ Tucker, actually, their recent acquisition. Both PJ Tucker and Giannis Antetokounmpo are listed as questionable for the game. But at any rate, this is a good team. It's a team the Wolves are going to have trouble with. They're a great three-point shooting team, second in the league in three-point shooting percentage. They're also the league's best defensive rebounding team in terms of rebounds per game, and part of that's due to the pace they play at, but they're third in defensive rebounding percentage. So you're looking at one of the league's very best rebounding teams. They don't commit fouls, and they're one of the best three-point shooting teams. I don't see how the Wolves sans Karl-Anthony Towns, and this is a super downer thing to say, I just don't know how they're going to be competitive, especially after the showing on Tuesday. If Cap plays, it'll at least be entertaining, and it should be close. So hopefully. But either way, whether it's close or not, we're going to have a post-game podcast on Wednesday evening late, just like we did following the game against the Nets. So be sure that you're following along wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and you won't miss it, whether that's on Apple, Google, Spotify, or perhaps it's the all-new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow along on Twitter, @LockedOnTWolves, and also @BBeacon. That's BBeacon, two B's, two E's, CKEN. Otherwise, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. A reminder that today's episode was brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. All right, that's all we have for you today. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.